a pleasant morning to each of you. Along with announcements made, I want you to know how much I appreciate your presence. So good to see this number out, and so good to see some visiting with us. And if you're visiting with us, we want you to know we consider you to be an honored guest. We encourage you to open your Bible and study with us. We want you to feel at ease and comfortable as you visit with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe to be true, and yet have the responsibility of preaching the truth of God. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'll kindly show me the error of my way, I'll make the proper correction. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. And while we're standing and singing, we'll be praying within our heart that if you've never been obedient to the gospel of Christ, that this very morning you'd make your way to the front and that you'd be willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Or if you've left the faith and you've wandered back into the world, we'll be praying this morning that you would come to the front and that you would let us know that you desire the prayers of this congregation, that you be restored to Christ in this church family, and we will rejoice with you that your life has been made right. In the book of Mark, in the 16th chapter, I want to read two verses for the thought of our study. In the book of Mark, in the 16th chapter, look at verses 15 and 16. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Evidently, the Lord intended for the gospel of Christ to be exciting. And when one looks at the New Testament, it reveals that men of the Galileans walked miles and even missed their meals to hear the words of Jesus. I've often tried to imagine what it would be like to hear the Son of God preach. And no doubt every sermon he ever proclaimed, every sermon he ever declared, was one that was exciting to hear. But you'll find that even his disciples followed in his footsteps, and they were excited to proclaim the truth of God. They were excited to tell others what Jesus did on Calvary's cross to take away their sin. The Apostle Paul in the Colossian letter and the first chapter and in about verse 23 says that you have not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven. Notice that Paul was so excited to preach the gospel of Christ that he went into places that did not even want to hear it. And Paul proclaimed it until he said, "It has been preached to every creature under heaven." I've been made to wonder in our day and time how many people would be willing to walk miles and even miss meals to hear the gospel. I fear there's not many in our country who'd be willing to do that. But maybe perhaps in foreign lands, they are starving for the pure, simple gospel that they'd be willing to walk miles and make great sacrifices to hear the proclamation of the word. But I've been made to wonder, why has it become a problem with people not being excited about the preaching of the word? I know the gospel is the same. It has not changed. And I've been made to wonder and believe that much of the lost excitement of the word falls upon the men who preach it. That some have done what the early disciples would have deemed impossible. They have succeeded in making Jesus and his message dull. So I want to talk about the lost excitement of preaching the word and what are some things that would keep one from losing the excitement of proclaiming the infallible word of God. First of all, for there to be excitement in preaching, the one doing the preaching must be an individual of deep conviction. Preachers will not excite others with the word of the Lord unless they are persons of deep conviction, that they believe what they preach, that they are convicted about what they teach, and they must be excited about preaching the word. They're not doing it for just a paycheck. They're not doing it just to go through the motions or think it's easy. But they are people that when they preach the word of God, they're excited to tell others about Jesus Christ. When preachers grow weary in the proclamation of the word of God, you can rest assured it will be dull to the ones who listen to them. I'm fearful that in our day, that sometimes people are just going through the motion, and that includes preachers. I understand that many times the preacher can get discouraged. I've been there. I understand that many times a preacher can become burned out. But we must be like Jeremiah and have a fire in our bones to proclaim the truth of God. But secondly, we need to make sure that we preach the Word of God in an exciting way. Some read the Word in what one might call a holy tongue. Now, there's nothing wrong with a man using notes. But to preach like some do in the holy tone, just reading every word, more like a funeral talk, can make it dull. They feel as if they get nothing from the message when the audience listens to a man who's not excited about the proclamation of the word. Now, as I've already said, I do not want to be misunderstood nor misrepresented. It's not wrong to read notes. And to be excited, one doesn't have to be loud. One doesn't have to be animated or dynamic. But I'll tell you what one must do. One must be excited that they have an opportunity to preach about Christ. And when that excitement is displayed, it will be that which carries over to the audience. But there's a third thing. Preaching must be related to everyday life. I had a young man recently tell me that my preaching is not relevant. And I beg to differ with that young man. I'll tell you, my friend, anytime you preach the Bible, the Word of God, it's relevant. And anytime you preach to deal with everyday life, I'll tell you, it's relevant. And this is where it's become so dull to the young of our day. We don't make application. And there are some things that are good to teach in Bible study, but too complicated for preaching. When we're preaching, we're trying to storm the will of man. We're trying to encourage the saints, and we're trying to touch the hearts of the lost. We are trying to get people to be obedient to the gospel, and we're trying to get people to remain faithful to the will of God. But I'll tell you something else. Gospel preaching can become dull when it's not specific. It just might shock you to know that people really prefer for you to be specific. Sometimes preachers sound like politicians. You cannot pinpoint what they said. You remember in the book of Acts in the second chapter when the Apostle Peter was preaching, he said, "Ye men of Israel." Notice he specifies who he's talking to. Then he specifies their sin. He said, "You have taken with your wicked hands and have crucified the Holy One of God." Then if you take your New Testament in the Galatian letter and the fifth chapter, when the Apostle Paul was writing to the churches throughout Galatia, notice he talks about the works of the flesh, or what we call the works of the flesh in verse 19. And notice he said they're evident. And notice how specific he is. He said they are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice he plainly spells out what the sins are, and he plainly spells out what they will not receive, the inheritance of the kingdom of God. But that brings up something else. One of the greatest problems today that causes a lack of excitement in preaching is that the preaching is too deep. And many times it's far too deep for the average person. You know, when the Greek scholars translated the Bible into the English version, it was not done in the classical Greek scholarly way, but in the language of the average person on the street. And I find it very dull today to hear a man get up and act intellectual, and make it so complicated that I wonder what he said. Must I be a Greek scholar to know what the Word teaches? You know, my friend, both educated and not so educated appreciate simple gospel preaching. That's what Jesus did. That's what the apostles did. They proclaimed the simple gospel. But then I'll tell you something else. The gospel, to be exciting, must be preached in love. I fear that too many take the pulpit without the love of souls or the gospel at heart. It was the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4:15 who said we must speak the truth in love. We must deliver the sermon not out of anger, not out of hatred, but out of love. And it can be so unexciting to hear a man get up and try to scorch someone's hide. Instead of trying to skin hides, we need to be trying to touch hearts. But there's something else I want to bring to your mind. Long lessons can make it unexciting. Now, I do not want to be misunderstood nor misrepresented. I recognize that sometimes one may have to go longer in a lesson to get all their points in. But I fail to see where some preachers get the idea they must stay up here 45 minutes or an hour to be spiritual. You know, my friend, many times they just repeat and repeat and they weary people out, and the people get so tired they fail to get the lesson in their heart. We fail to see the elderly sitting there who are hurting. We fail to see the mothers who are fighting with their babies who are crying. And then the preacher blames the people for not being spiritual, when in reality, oftentimes, the preacher's on an ego trip. He thinks that the people just want to hear him continue on and on and on. Now, as I said, there are times one may need to preach a long lesson to get all the points in. And I'm not against such. But I'll tell you, my friend, many times I'm fearful that we do it as a sense of pride instead of what is needed. I'd rather you get one point to think about all week than to preach so long you don't remember anything. But there's something else we need to remember. People can tell when a preacher is condescending. And preachers need to be humble. And preachers ought not to put themselves on a pedestal, and members ought not to put members on a pedestal. I'll tell you, my friend, that if you put someone on a pedestal, it just makes their fall that much greater. We are humans. We have struggles. We have problems. We have troubles. I'll tell you, my friend, I, just like you, have my weaknesses that I deal with. And I must confess that there are some days that I struggle. And I would to God that we would understand that preachers are just like us, that they are individuals trying to do the will of God, and yet they are not perfect. Many times you can get discouraged. Many times you may feel like giving up and saying, what's the use? People aren't wanting to listen. The church isn't growing. But then you go back and you remember, my friend, that it is exciting to tell people about the Word of God. You remember that the power is in the gospel. And I'll tell you something else, my friend. We need to learn to preach to excite people. There is the need to preach the gospel of Christ and make it exciting to both the young and the aged. Now, the listeners must do their part. You'll get out of a sermon what you put in it as far as being focused and listening. But the preacher needs to preach his part. He must teach that a man is a sinner, and man needs to be reminded of this. Paul stated this in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Secondly, we need to preach that the gospel is good news. The gospel is good news to the man. It is the only way for him to be saved. And that should excite you that God wants you saved. As we read Mark 16:15 and 16, we're to preach the good news to every sinner. But I'll tell you a third thing. We need to preach to encourage the family of God. We need to encourage the members of the church. In your Bible, you remember when the Apostle Paul was writing to the young man Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, that he says in verse 15, if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It is Peter who wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 that we are a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, and that we ought to be offering up spiritual sacrifices holy and acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That is what we're to do. We need to be encouraging one another to be doing the will of God, worshiping in spirit and truth, following God's way, God's word, God's will, and encouraging one another to be faithful. Because I'll tell you, there's something else we need to be preaching to excite, and that is the judgment. In your Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes that we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. It was the Apostle Paul who wrote in Acts 17 in verses 30 and 31 that truly these times of ignorance God overlooked. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he's appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. You know, my friend, the gospel is exciting. I realize that many times when I preach that I don't do a great job. There's some times when I get done preaching and I realize I struck out and didn't hit a home run. Many times when I'm done, I feel like I've just let God. But I pray, even when I do a pitiful job, that I say something that'll encourage you. And I pray that to the lost, even if the sermon is not great from the preacher, that you hear the message that you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to be a child of God. I'll tell you, my friend, there's nothing more relevant than that, to know that you're right with God. And if you're here and you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready this morning where you can become a child of God and enjoy the greatness of being in the family of God. And we would rejoice with you. We would be excited to have a new member in the family of God if you would but come and be baptized as together we stand and sing. We cordially invite you to come.